and Matt Gorder with the Bearcat Coaches Show live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We are broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Along with Matt Gorder, I'm John Coffey. And Matt, we've got a lot to talk about on tonight's program. We'll be featuring primarily baseball and track and field. We'll talk here in a little bit about basketball, as basketball is on the home stretch as well. But before we talk about sports, a sad note concerning a person who was a regular attendee at the coaches show during the fall before they head down to Florida. The passing away is Zoanne Severson in the past week, and just a sad note there for someone that's been to the show for years and has a table just to our right, a group of friends that have never missed a show during the fall, and she's definitely going to be missed.
Yeah, the Severson family, Zoanne, obviously her husband Bob, and the rest of the family, huge supporters of Bearcat Athletics, not just the show, but yeah, especially in the fall. We'd see them each and every week, front and center, and you know, Bob especially kind of giving the coaches a hard time, you know, and yeah, they're still down in Florida, and Zoanne passed down in Florida, and that's you know, it's tough news. And it's tough to see any Bearcat supporter pass away, but especially when you talk about the Seversons and how supportive they have been of Bearcat Athletics for so many years.
And also a reminder, too, that a memorial service will be held on Saturday, April 8th at the First Christian Church in Maryville for those who want to attend that. And the family will receive friends from 6 to 8 p.m. on Friday, April 7th at the Grandma Danfelt Funeral Home here in Maryville. So, again, a sad note this past week, but again, someone that brought a lot of joy not to Maryville and also to this coaches show each week.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, she's going to be keeping her eye on all the Bearcat sports, just from a different place and a little bit higher seat.
And let's talk about basketball. First of all, last night, the Northwest Missouri State Bearcat women's season came to a close as they lost to Central Oklahoma down in Edmond, Oklahoma. I guess when you look at the season, though, the thing to think about, some of the positive things that were accomplished this year, number one, qualifying for the MIAA postseason tournament after missing it for a few years, and it's glad to see that they got back in and got into the first round last night.
You know, when you take a look at trying to build a program, you know, and this is a program, the women's team, that has had several coaches. You know, it seems like every year they've gotten a new coach for the last 4 or 5 years, and you know, so it's tough to build a program when you've got that. I think the coaching staff that we're looking at now with Buck and Heather, you know, they're set to stay. They want to build this program and get some consistency back in the program. And one of the things that you have to do is, you know, we talked about it with Lori Hopkins, Associate AD, at halftime last night, and Buck after the game, the fact that it's a process. It's not something that happens overnight. Sometimes it's hard during the season to look at that because you are trying to win every game in the season. So wins and losses mean a lot. But the previous year, they did not make the MIAA tournament. This year, yeah, they didn't have as many wins as they wanted, but they started the season strong. They did make the MIAA postseason tournament. And they showed Central Oklahoma last night that they were an improved basketball team. They did struggle in the third quarter, Northwest did, but I think when Northwest came out and played like they did early in that ball game, took an early lead there in the first quarter, they showed Central Oklahoma they weren't the same team that they played back in the very beginning of conference play. So they proved that they had made some strides. There's still a lot of work to be done. Just two seniors on that team, Jasmine Howe and Carly Wilhelmy. And while it's always tough to try to replace those seniors, you've got a lot of players coming back and a lot of players that Coach Scheel has signed to bring into the program. You're going to see some competition at, for some playing time. And competition always breeds improvement among everybody because everybody works a little bit harder because everybody wants as much playing time as they can. And I think some of the athletes that we saw that will be back, I think they're ready to do that. And so I think they're going to take another big step next year just based upon what we see coming down the line and building off of what they were able to do this season.
Last night, one thing that we've seen that hurt this team in the all throughout a lot of the season is putting together a full four quarters. They played three very good quarters. That third quarter was one that just came back to bite them last night.
Yeah, there were kind of two spots in the game. Not the most important there in the third quarter. It took them 5 minutes to get their first points of the second half. And what was really frustrating about that is they went into the halftime locker room down by four and really didn't need to change a lot. Coach Steele said at halftime they tweaked a couple of things to try to work on taking Central Oklahoma maybe out of some of their strengths, you know, that they were having in the first half. But nothing major had to be changed because Northwest, for the most part, was playing well. But it took them 5 minutes to get those first points, and they had just 7 points in the third quarter, outscored 21-7 in that quarter, and they just couldn't recover from that, even though they outscored Central Oklahoma by one in the fourth. So I think that's the most crucial part of the game. I think the other one that's a little bit tough is early on in the game when they were playing well and they got the lead, they had a few turnovers in a row, and we saw a 9-0 run there by Central Oklahoma that gave them the lead. But more importantly, that was a stretch where you saw a confident team come out and play strong, and then that stretch right there where they had a few turnovers, you kind of saw some of that confidence waver a little bit. Not all of it, but enough that it really made the rest of the night a bit of a struggle, and they just couldn't overcome that third quarter.
Well, as their season comes to a close, the Bearcat men's season continues on. They are the number one seed in the MIAA postseason tournament on the men's side. They play tomorrow night at 6 o'clock as they'll face Lincoln in their quarterfinal round matchup. While that broadcast beginning at 5:40 with their pregame, but Bearcat men's team, there's something special right now.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and they've had a little extra time off. Obviously, Lincoln had to play on Monday to earn the trip to the MIAA tournament in Kansas City, and it's the third time they're playing Lincoln. It's going to be a very interesting matchup, I think, because you saw a couple of close games. The first game, you talk about the top two players for Lincoln, Jalen Smith and Anthony Verdour. Really, in that first game, we didn't see a lot out of Jalen Smith. He played, but just wasn't there, and we saw, obviously, a huge game out of Verdour. Now, in the last matchup last Saturday, Verdour did not play in the game, but we saw Jalen Smith play really well. So we've seen both of those players play well against Northwest. Now the Cats can try to prepare for them, but that's a challenge. You know, those are some talented basketball players. I think the major advantage Northwest is going to have over Lincoln is just playing in that environment, playing in that atmosphere. Lincoln has not been down there. They don't have the same feel as Northwest does. Everybody that plays for the Bearcats has been to Municipal.
Yeah.
They know exactly what that place is like. So I think that's going to be a huge advantage for Northwest, and hopefully they can use it right from the start.
And I think another advantage they have coming in, too, is that they didn't have to play a game earlier this week. And for Lincoln, they had to travel from Maryville over to St. Charles, and then now they have to travel back to Kansas City. So they're going to spend a lot of time on the bus. Now, granted, they're young guys and can probably recuperate a lot from all that, but still, you have to factor that in a little bit.
Oh, too. Yeah, absolutely. You know, an extra game this late in the season means something. You know, everybody's legs are a little bit fatigued, so if you can have some extra time off, that's why getting one of those top four positions in the MIAA is so important to teams, so you don't have to play that early week game and get some extra time off. And, you know, so that is a factor, the travel plus just having to play the game in general. Even had it been a home game, it still would have been an advantage for Northwest. But, yes, the travel aspect is there. That will add to it and hopefully be another factor Northwest can take advantage of.
Bearcats finished off the regular season with a win over Lincoln Saturday afternoon. And hopefully one of the things that win can possibly do is ensure that Northwest can host the regional here down the line.
Yeah, you know, it really looks like that's you don't want to say for sure thing because we won't know till Sunday. But you have to feel pretty comfortable about it, especially if Northwest can get a win against Lincoln. If they get a couple of wins, I think it'd be a no-doubter. But I think no matter what happens this weekend, when you look at what they've done over the course of the regular season and having just one loss over the regular season, that they really should get that opportunity to play at home a week from this weekend.
And we've got a good show for you tonight. We'll be talking baseball and track and field as Northwest head baseball coach Darren Lowe is with us, along with second baseman Ozzie Adams. So off to a good start at the plate. And we'll talk track and field with Scott Lorick, the head coach of the track and field program, and track and field athletes Brandon Phipps and Sonova Harris will be joining us as well. A reminder, the support for the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show comes from the Stuner Body. Screen printing and embroidery, now located near the Northwest campus at the corner of 4th and Fillmore in Maryville. Stuner Body provides Bearcat fanware, custom screen printing, and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation. And support also comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Open for lunch and dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699. Again, we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. We'll continue on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show right after this timeout.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Nottoway Valley Bank. With 8 locations, NVB has been serving generations of Northwest Missouri families for almost a century and a half. The right bank is right at your fingertips at nvb.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Oak Point Assisted Living and Memory Care in Maryville. Oak Point offers private apartments and other services for seniors. More at 660-562-2799 or at oakpointmaryville.com.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville across from Walmart. Chad Peterson, Jesse, Maggie Wilson, and Chad Townsend offer a variety of pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 582-8800.
Today's game on the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Northwest Audio Visual, providing residential, commercial, and auto customers with sales, design, service, and installation of home theater and car audio systems. More at 660-853-2319.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More info is available from shelter agents Brad Ford of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, Jody Nelson of Savannah, and Larry Olinger of Mound City.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. Find more at 660-582-2699.
And we're back at Carson's Sports Grill in downtown Maryville on the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV KRNW. As we turn our attention to Northwest baseball, the Bearcat baseball team getting the MIAA season underway this past weekend. And joining us is the head coach of the Northwest baseball team, Darren Lowe. And, Coach, I know in terms of wins and losses, maybe kind of a stub of the toe last weekend against Northeastern State, but what was just the general feel of the weekend for you and the team and what you saw down in Tahlequah?
Well, I think you're right. It was a little setback for us. You know, we did very well in our non-conference play, going 8-2, and then I'm not sure if I can put my finger on why we just didn't hit as well as we had been in the first 10 ball games. Our pitching was solid, but not as great as it had been. So, you know, it's just one of those weekends. You know, we came back and talked about it as a team and tried to identify a few things that we could help do. And I think a lot of it was just our mentality. It was a little bit off, and just have to correct that and have a good week of practice and get ready for Lindenwood on Friday.
We saw close games. It's not like you guys were blown out by any means in any of those games. But when you have that first loss and then on Saturday turn around and have that second, does it really make it tough on Sunday? Or how does it play out on a weekend when you see that and you're trying to get things turned around after a couple of losses?
Yeah, I think that's the thing about baseball is, and I hope our guys learned over the weekend, is you have to have a short memory, because if you get beat on a Friday, it doesn't mean that you have to lose the series. So, you know, hopefully we learn those things, and our guys know that, and we'll battle back and understand that. But, you know, if you lose one, doesn't mean you have to lose all three. So, just have to keep grinding it out. You know, obviously if you start swinging the bats a little bit better again, and that's going to help us out, you know, getting solid pitching from all three of our starters in our bullpen is obviously going to help and keep you in a close ball game as we were. And you know, and a lot of it goes back to confidence, get our confidence back up, and you know, we're certainly not pushing the panic button, but you know, we need to make a few corrections here and there, and I think we'll be fine.
And there were some positives out of the weekend. You take a look at you talked about the pitching, Anthony Canapiel with another great start for you guys on Saturday.
Yeah, just Anthony gives us a chance to win every day that he goes out there, and another dominating performance. You know, we get to the seventh, and he walks the leadoff hitter on four pitches, which is very uncharacteristic of him. Give up his first hit of the game on a little flare to right field, and then three-run home run, and we lose 3-2. So, you know, it's just one of those things. And, again, you take a look at that game. We had a 2-0 lead, had a number of different opportunities to push some runs across the plate. We just didn't get those done, and I think we left 16 runners on in that game. You know, if that's a 6-7-0 ball game, you know, they're probably not as excited to hit in that situation. But in that situation, being down two, you know, all they were doing was hoping to get a a guy on base and hit a home run, and unfortunately they got two on base and hit the home run. So again, learn from it and try to stretch that lead a little bit more when we get the opportunity to do so, and so those situations don't hurt you quite as bad.
It seems to go back to where you talked about needing to kind of have that short memory, because when you look at that game on paper and what Anthony did, great. I mean, there was so much great that came out of the game. You're talking about a three-hitter stretch, out of the course of an entire ball, because it was a complete game for him. But is it tough, especially when it is such a momentum changer? Even though that's just three hitters, that's got to feel like 10 hitters in a much bigger inning than it actually was.
Yeah, and I guess there's so many people that are results oriented, you take a look at that game and say, well, we lost 3-2, but what an outstanding pitching performance. I think at one point he had sat down 19 in a row. It just so happens that they strung three guys together. So again, I think you do take the positives out of those things. Ozzie Adams swung the bat well all weekend. Luke Hassman really hit well in the middle of our order. So there's a lot of good things that we did. We just have to bunch them up a little bit more and get back to solid baseball.
You talked about Ozzie and how he had a good weekend, and obviously we'll talk to Ozzie here shortly, but it was one of those things that it was consistency. It's not like he had one big game and made kind of inflated the numbers. He was consistent all three games. How important is that when you're talking about having a guy that's a leader on the team that is having consistency like that?
Yeah, I've always said that, I'd rather have a guy go up and go, give me a 1-for-3 every day instead of that guy that goes 3-for-3 and then 0-for-3 and rides that roller coaster. So, we always know Ozzie's going to give us consistent at-bats. He's going to battle. He's not going to hang his head when he gets out, and he's going to go out and play great defense for us as well. So, it's just a consistent player, and I think some of the, maybe I wouldn't say slumps, but our guys having a little bit off days, hopefully learn from the way Ozzie plays the game and the way Luke plays the game. They just go play, and we talked about that as a team. That the game of baseball is played so much between the years. It's just a mental game, and when you have confidence, it's a lot easier game to play. But when your confidence is shaken a little bit, it can be a tough game for you to get through. So hopefully, again, 3 days of good practice, good batting practice, and getting back to basics a little bit, and come out strong on Friday.
Now you get that opportunity at home this weekend, continue an MIAA play, obviously, match up with Lindenwood. And what's that going to be like after you guys have had your first 13 games of the season, not just away from home, but well away from home, to be able to get that chance to not have to go anywhere and get to play some baseball games?
Yeah, we were getting pretty sick of that drive down to Oklahoma and Arkansas, so it's going to be nice to stay home. And like you said, it wasn't just across the border; it was six to eight hours road trips, and the first one was a 9-day job. So it's going to be nice to get back. And that last at bat in baseball is so huge, and it's whether you need it or not, it's just you have it in the back of your mind that no matter what the score is, we get the last shot to put some runs on the board, and I think that's a confidence issue that you can have going into a ball game. And then obviously fan base, our parents traveled extremely well over the course of the road stretch, but getting some students out and getting our fans out is going to be huge for us. And looks like we're going to get nice weather, albeit maybe a little bit breezy, but we are in Maryville, so we know the wind blows around here a little bit. So, just to get on that routine a little bit more, sleeping in your own bed, seeing some familiar faces in the stands, I think will be good for us.
Sometimes with teams, you talk about the wind blowing. Some teams would want it blowing out more often. Some teams wanting it blowing in, depending on how you're built. It seems like with the team you've got this year, either way could potentially work.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure which one I would rather have, but it sounds like we're going to have both this weekend. So I think on Friday the forecast is 20-mile-an-hour wind blowing straight in from center, and then the next day it turns around, blows out to left. So, you know, I think I'll put our pitching staff up against anybody in a windy game with the wind blowing out. I think they have the ability to control that and keep the ball down in the zone and keep the ball in the ballpark. So so if I was to have an opinion, I guess if one way or the other, I'd like one blown out, but I guess that's one of those things you don't get to choose either.
Yeah, that's true. We can speculate all we want, I guess, can't we?
Right.
This Lindenwood team, what have you seen them do so far this year?
You know, they've been right in the middle of the pack a little bit. They took 2 out of 3 from Missouri Southern last year. I know Missouri Southern did lose some big pieces out of their lineup, and I know Lindenwood lost some big pieces as well. Two of their top pitchers were signed to professional contracts last year. Their shortstop was really good last year, and he was a good player for them for a long time. They lost him, first baseman. So, obviously I think they lost some key pieces, but I'm sure they've rebuilt and have some able bodies at those positions to fill those spots. So, you know, I think it looks like a very similar team to us. They have solid pitching, maybe not a lot of power numbers at this point anyway, but they're hitting right around 300 as a team, and, you know, it's going to be a good opponent. It's I think we can probably say that for the next 10 weekends is going to be, they're going to be a solid opponent. They're going to be well coached. They're going to have strong pitching and defense, and they're going to be able to score runs. So every day is about the same in the MIAA, and you got to come to play every weekend.
When you look at the schedule, obviously the month of March, very kind in terms of MIAA, play a lot of home games through the bulk of March. You've got a couple of non-conferences in there as well, but how important in terms of the MIAA is the month of March for you with those home games and trying to get off to a good start in conference play?
Yeah, I think it's huge for us. I think getting back and playing very good baseball as soon as possible is going to be very important for us. You never want to, obviously, in any sport, dig yourself a hole and have a put yourself in a situation where you have to win or you have to go in and get 2 out of 3 from teams. You just have to grind it out. And, you know, even though it's a long season, you know, you just you can't fall too far behind. So, you know, hopefully with those with all these home series and people coming to Maryville hopefully we can take advantage of that, put ourselves in a good situation, build some confidence, and then when we do go on the road, you know, it's not a must-win situation or a must-need 2 out of 3 in a 3-game series type of situation.
All right, Coach. Well, thanks for stopping by. Good luck this weekend and your first home action at the Bearcat Field.
All right. Thanks, Matt.
That is Darren Lowe, head coach of the Northwest baseball team. They will play Friday at 2, Saturday at 2, and Sunday at 1 against Lindenwood out at Bearcat Field right there on the Northwest campus. When we come back, we're going to continue to talk baseball. As you heard us talking about Ozzie Adams, the second baseman for Northwest, he'll join us right after this. You're listening to the Coach's Corner from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville on KXCV, KRNW. Support for the Bearcats comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations is at usbank.com.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Heinlein Home Furnishings at 1411 South Main in Maryville, supplying living room, dining room, and bedroom furnishings for the home, as well as mattresses and flooring. More information is available at HeinleinHomeFurnishings.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Walker Body Shop and Towing at 420 North Market Street in Maryville. Celebrating more than 50 years in business, Walker's provides complete collision repair and 24-hour towing for cars and trucks. More at 660-582-3104. Today's broadcast is brought to you by Younger Auction Company. Auctioneer Mark Younger and his team simulcast online live auctions in all states. Younger Auction Company specializes in real estate, farm equipment, collectibles, and antiques. More at youngerauction.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Maryville Glass and Lock. Greg Fisher and his team offer installation and service of overhead doors from Rainer and LiftMaster operators. More at 660-582-3131, in-store at 5th and Buchanan, or at MarylandVilleGlassAndLock.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. Find more at 660-582-2699.
And we're back at Carson's in downtown Maryville on the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV KRNW as we talk with Ozzie Adams, second baseman for Northwest Missouri State. And Ozzie, we were just talking with Coach. Obviously, the start of the season, you guys get to have some home games finally this weekend with all those trips down south. And it's just got to be a comforting feeling knowing you get to play baseball games and don't have any long bus rides this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice. And every week we get to leave on Thursday, and just long trip, kind of draining, and getting back late, having to finish up your schoolwork the next couple of days, it just kind of can be a drag. It'd be good to get out and be home for a little bit.
And that's got to be one of the things that you guys, for student athletes, has to have been a challenge. You were away for 9 days there right at the start of the season, but keeping up with that schoolwork's got to be a bit of a challenge.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. You miss a week at a time, and got to still make up for it. And a lot of people, I take a lot of online classes trying to avoid all the in-class work missing, but we manage.
When you talk about the season itself, it looks like, numbers-wise, you've been off to a good start yourself. How have you felt things have gone here through the first 13 games?
I mean, really good. We started off how we wanted to and just had a little step back this last weekend, just kind of got away from what we're trying to do and couldn't get some of the big hits we'd been getting, and just looking to get back rolling, playing the way we can play and competing more this weekend.
When you talk about the early part of the season offensively, what are you trying to do? I know you obviously want to try to, you want that ball to be bigger, you want it to look bigger, and you feel comfortable. What are you trying to do in the early part of the season to get to that comfort level?
Well, I mean, at first it's tough. You're just getting your timing back and facing live pitching for the first time in a while. We don't always get the luxury to hit outside, and moving from inside to outside can be a little difficult, but now we're getting to the point where the timing's kind of there, played enough games, had enough at-bats where you're starting to see your pitch and try and get the one you want and drive it.
What's the biggest difference feeling-wise for moving? Because you guys are at the basement of Lampkin trying to hit inside in the cages downstairs there, and it's kind of feels really confined, but it's wide open, obviously, once you get outside. What's the biggest change when you're trying to get used to that switch?
I mean, when it comes down to it, it's still hitting, so it's just kind of not letting it bug you, just kind of staying in your own little tunnel and blocking all that out, trying to avoid it. Can't really, once it comes down to it, you can't make excuses once you're getting your first at-bats and it all counts, so you just got to put it all aside and try and get a good pitch to hit.
We've talked with Coach about the pitching staff this year. For you, both defensively and offensively, when you've got some solid pitching like that, is it a little bit easier to kind of relax in both of those areas of the game?
I mean, yeah, we've been pretty lucky with our pitching staff. I mean, they've been dealing lately as they did last year too. But yeah, I think at times it's tough to, you kind of take advantage of it instead of trying to keep your foot on the pedal and going and scoring a bunch of runs and playing great defense the whole time. At times we'd probably let it get to us, but we're trying to get back to getting the big hits and competing like we were at the beginning of the year.
Last year, you obviously got a lot of action with the Cats, played in all 53 games, set a single season record for at-bats. How important was last year getting all that experience to coming into this year and getting off to a good start?
I mean, I think it was a stepping stone for us, kind of getting back to the conference tournament and bringing back all the guys we got. And now it's just kind of time to go do it, you know, and it's time here. We brought all the guys back, but it's time to actually go out and get back to where we want at the top of the conference and get back to the conference tournament and all that stuff. But it definitely helped us, I would say, the experience factor.
We talked about how you're back at second base this year, but you're having to make a little bit of an adjustment when you talk about turning the double play. You got a new shortstop this year. Take us through getting used to each other and making sure that goes as smoothly as possible, because that's one of the most important but yet toughest parts of the game.
Yeah, I mean, we replaced our whole left side of the infield, which I think we made the change pretty smoothly. Our shortstop, Logan Rycraft, he puts in a lot of work at short, before and after practice. He's always wanting to practice double plays, fees and stuff, just getting on the same page, you know, talking where you want it. Landon Fig at third, too, he's always giving good feeds, you know, knows where I want it, where the pocket is, and they've just done a good job stepping in and making that an easy transaction.
Is basically just repetition the only thing you can do there?
Pretty much, yeah, repetition and communication, just let him know which ones I like, which, I mean, where he's probably going to throw it if the ball takes him a certain way. But, yeah, definitely repetition.
We talked with Coach about the bulk of March being at home, especially in conference play. You'll have a couple of non-conference games in there as well. But how important is March to getting off to a good start in the conference?
I mean, just got to take it one game at a time. And the first one on Friday, that's the number one right now. But once hopefully we can get things rolling. And we had a lot of success at home last year. And the last at-bat we took advantage of, which is always nice to have, and just playing, not having to travel and being in front of our home fans. A lot of parents can make it, and just a lot more fun of an atmosphere.
Now, obviously, you guys, in terms of scouting, it's not like the major leagues where you've got, you know, scouts that are out ahead of time depending on where you're going. What do you try to do, especially as a hitter, and you're trying to learn the pitcher as quick as you can as you get in and facing new teams? What are you guys doing as a team to try to make sure everybody feels comfortable?
I mean, talking, again, that's, I think, a thing we do well. First few guys, once we get to the fifth hitter, say, like Kevin, usually me and Garrett have already talked to him about what the guy has, where he's trying to work us. And, I mean, for me and Gary, early I try to pick up the guy in the bullpen before I see him first. I mean, just see what he's throwing, where he tends to miss or where he's throwing, and just kind of got to roll with that.
So communication, it sounds like, no matter where you're at, is the big key.
Yep.
So what drew you to Northwest? You went to Kirkwood Community College out of Clear Lake, Iowa originally. What drew you to Northwest?
Just recruiting over the summer. I hadn't committed anywhere yet. Coach Creason gave me a call, came down and visited, and just loved it right away. Talked to a few people who had come here and hadn't heard a bad thing about Maryville, and I can't say anything either. It's a great place to be. And it was a great decision. Just Creason called me, and now I'm here.
All right. We'll enjoy the rest of the season.
Yep. Thank you.
That is Ozzie Adams, second baseman for Northwest Missouri State. And once again, they are at home for the first time this season. This weekend, they'll play Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at Bearcat Field. We'll be back with more to talk a little bit of track and field here at Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville when we come back on the Coach's Show right after this on KXCV KRNW.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More info is available from Shelter agents Brad Ford of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, Jody Nelson of Savannah, and Larry Olinger of Mound City.
Support for today's game comes from Tri-State Ford Lincoln on South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the region a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles as well as pre-owned vehicles. More at gotristate.com or at 660-582-3677.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fanware as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank, with online banking, including remote deposit using your mobile device. Right Bank is right at your fingertips, or at nvb.com, or at any of their 8 locations.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through ministries such as the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Prairie House. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. Find more at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We are broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Now turning our attention to track and field, joined now by the head coach of the Northwest Track and Field Program, and Scott Lorick. And Scott, good to have you with us again here tonight.
Thank you very much.
And coming off the MIAA Indoor Championships down in Joplin, tell us a little bit about how that went this past weekend.
It went well. Our team competed great. We had left a few holes, in our points area, but we really did compete fantastically. I think we made some really good progress in things. very few disappointments, one of them being an unfortunate mistake from Derek Templeman getting disqualified in the 600 after finishing second on a kind of a technicality, a lane violation. So, but, you know, that cost us a team place, unfortunately. But, you know, he's a tough one to handle there. But, you know, that's track and field. That happens. But overall, very good, and it puts us in a great position to go into outdoor season. And we're just excited about where we're going.
Overall, how would you assess the indoor season? Again, going back to December through to this particular point, what are some of the highlights of this year for you?
Well, I think the first one is just how many kids we've had nationally ranked on our national list and on the provisional qualifiers. Just a great number. And we're getting a good variety of events, too, especially on our women's side. We scored in nearly every event at the conference meet. And, you know, that's exciting when we start getting that kind of balance. And we do. We have to get kind of that balance on our men's side, which we're kind of achieving on our women's side. So it's going to take a little bit to kind of get that all together. But we've had, I think, just overall the competitiveness and the way our freshmen have come along. I'm really, really pleased with the whole direction.
As far as the national indoor meet coming up, let's talk a little bit about the possibilities for some of your athletes to move on here.
Well, unfortunately, we won't be having anyone in there. And this is one of those years where we've had, I said, a lot of numbers on there. But the way the national meet works is when you hit the provisional qualifying mark, you're on the list. So we have a lot of people on the list. But they take, like, the top 20. And we've got a lot of people at, like, 27th, 28th, 30th, 33rd. You know, so we have most of our, all of our kids are kind of in that kind of range. So, unfortunately, that means we're staying at home. But like I said, they have made great progress. They are getting nationally ranked, and hopefully we can move that up during the outdoor season. And, you know, we'll have a lot of kids at the national outdoor meet.
What are some of the things that you gained from the indoor season that carries over to the outdoor? I guess for a lot of the group, just getting an opportunity to compete after really working out during the fall to get some extra competition. But what are some of the skills that transfer over to outdoor?
Well, I think it all starts with where you are mentally, and some of the events are very different, and running indoors is very different for a lot of reasons, besides just some of the events being actually different. But it's really, when we get to the outdoor season, it's actually, the outdoor season is very short. I mean, we have probably like 1 month, really, maybe 5 weeks hitting our outdoor season, so you've really got to be ready to go at full bore and be almost peaked when the outdoor season starts. So we have like a 2 or 3 week break right now until the outdoor season begins, and so we have to hit it real hard. But our training year-round goes for the outdoor season. So this is really getting close to the point where we want our kids in every event to be peaking during the month of April. And so that peaking process, you know, starts last July, you know, to get to that point. So in the next, you know, 2 months is where everything hopefully is just going to come to its zenith for us.
What are the things you try to do to make sure that you're to this point where they're going to be peaking at the right time? I'm sure there's a lot that goes into that as far as working to this particular point.
Oh, there are. And so much is one aspect is just, you know, from the coach's standpoint, planning the training and guiding all that. But then the other side is just really working with people on a mental basis to really believe in that, because, you know, to get to that point, there's a lot of bumps in the roads, and there's sometimes some down times and some down races to, you know, to keep that going and have the confidence for where you're going to be in April. So it's a really sometimes a tricky combination of putting the physical training together with the mental training and the mental focus, and so much of it just has to do with confidence and trust.
How will you use the next couple 3 weeks to get ready for the outdoor season?
Oh, I told the kids after a conference meet, I said, you know, we're not peaking, we don't need any time off, anything like this. You know, we're getting right back into it, and we just told them that these next 3 weeks are extremely important, and we're going to hit it really hard.
And by that, what are some things you've got planned for them here?
Well, I think, like, you know, for a lot of our kids, just the volume of things is going to be up. Since we don't have any competitions, we're going to just, you know, we're going to have hard training. I mean, it basically just comes down to that. And so these next 3 weeks are going to be kind of tiring for them. And then we get to go into our outdoor season where we'll kind of focus a little bit more on quality and rest. But right now, we're not worried about rest.
You're not anyway. You're
no, I feel great, like, yeah, every day.
Yeah.
I really don't know why they're so tired.
What do you see as some of the strengths to your squad for the outdoor season?
Well, on our men's side, our distance runners have been doing a great job this whole year. And so we're going to have a couple of our other event areas come along. I think our 400 runners, Juwan Bush, made the finals of the 400 indoors, and he's only a freshman, and that was a great accomplishment for him. And I think we got some throwers that are going to come along and do some things as we go. But on our women's side, we've just really got a lot of balance. Really need to see if we can just move them up a couple places. And our point total is going to be hugely different because we're getting in there with a lot of like seventh and eighth places, which is great to score in a lot of events, but it doesn't total a huge number. But if we move those up to fourth and fifths, I mean, then, our whole season summary changes real fast.
Let's just talk about the early portion of the outdoor season and the meet you've got coming up here.
Well, we're going to open in a few weeks, just going to Emporia State, keep a local one to get going. But our big things are our home meet on April 6th through the 8th. We call it the NASC MIAA Showdown. And so we really started this last year with both conferences coming together. We're kind of a central location. And we've got a trophy for the winning conference and the winning team and all that kind of stuff. But it's really a great meet. We've got 13 teams coming in. And it's just a fantastic meet that we'll do over those 3 days right here at home in Maryville. So that's outstanding. And then we're going to make our trip to California again and hit the West Coast. And, that's really, besides the obvious reasons, it's just fantastic. And our kids are at that point where we have to provide a competitive experience at that kind of level for them. And, one of the main things is you go out there, you don't have to worry about 20-mile-an-hour winds and, and things like that. So it's really an opportunity for us to really point towards those two weekends to really get some great quality.
It's a good recruiting tool for you to tell the athletes coming in that you're going to have an opportunity to compete at that level and go out to California?
Well, absolutely. And we've been to, we're going to Azusa Pacific and Long Beach, and a few years ago we went to the Oregon Relays. And a lot of times you say, we're going to Oregon Relays, and it's like all of a sudden, not even knowing anything about the meet, it's a good thing. But that is a thing, and that enhances the program. And it also, I think, in recruiting, it tells them that we're a program that's looking for that competition, looking for that higher level, and we're going to provide those things for them. Because quite honestly, when I started here 12 years ago, there was no need for us to go to California, but now there is. And we've got a lot of kids that they will really thrive on having that potential, that kind of upper level competition.
As far as the conference goes, who do you see as some of the teams that to beat this year?
Oh gosh, all of them. Our conference sends more individuals to the national championships than any conference in the country. And, it's just a dogfight every year. So, we're in there fighting with every single team. A couple teams on top. Pitt State is obviously a tremendous program. But every team, there's not a bad team. There's not a weak team in our league. So it's a dogfight and scratching for every point for everybody.
Why is that the MIAA is so strong in track and field? And it's really strong across the board in a lot of different sports as well. But why do you see some of the reasons the conference is as strong as it is?
Boy, that's a good question. It's not, one of the obvious things is there must be a better talent base or something in this part of the country. But I don't think that's it at all. I don't think, in a lot of places, I know comparatively with high school times and stuff, we're not able to get kids that other schools in different geographic areas are bringing in as far as their performances on paper, coming out of high school. So it's not that we're getting better talent in our league. So I'm not quite sure, but I do think just the competitiveness of our league, I think, has a lot to do with it. When they come in as freshmen, they realize it has to be elevated. So I think across the board, that competitiveness is just bringing that out of people and accelerating their development.
We've got a couple of your athletes that will be coming up and talking with in just a moment. It's Nova Harris along with Brandon Phipps. Just talk a little bit about them and what they have brought to your program.
Well, who do you want to hear first?
Oh, let's go Zenova, I guess.
Zenova. Well, Zenova has another year of outdoor eligibility after this year, and she's just been a tremendous team leader for us, just doing a fantastic job in the sprints. And she scored in two events in the 60-dash and the 200 this last weekend at the conference meet. She's, like I said, a team leader. on our women's side, and just one of those kids that has just developed each year, but also just with great enthusiasm, a fantastic work ethic. So, in every sport, of course, but with us, when you're doing so much that's so fatiguing, it's so great to have a team leader like her who, will push through, and she's just as tired as everybody else.
Man, as far as Brandon, what's he bring to the table?
Brandon, man, he's a story. He's doing fantastically, but, he never ran cross-country in high school. He was a football quarterback up at Creston, Iowa. And so his first, and he can tell you this, his first, fall here as a freshman, he didn't know if he's going to the moon or if he's, going to Cleveland. He didn't. So it was just an adventure for him. But he has just taken into it, and he's developed tremendously, and there's so much that he didn't know when he started that he is now. And now, here he is. He's got another year or two left with us, and he's been at all region and cross country. He's all conference in the 5,000. And just today, he was he had made the all region for the 5,000 meters indoors. And so the progress he's made has absolutely been fantastic. And also because he was one of those guys who's so under-trained and under-experienced in high school, when I recruited him, I wasn't sure what we were getting other than we had a guy with great potential. And, he's really living into that.
As a coach, how much fun is it to see athletes all like these two go through your program and accomplish what they accomplish?
It is. It is fun. It is fantastic. And, I just enjoy. And I, sometimes tell you, as a competitor myself in the past, there's one thing when you compete, yourself and you do well, it's that's great. But when you get to coach people and you get to be a part of them doing something, honestly, it's even better.
All right. Well, Scott, thanks all for bringing us.
Thank you very much.
Okay, now Scott Lawrence with us on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We'll come back and continue to talk track and field right after this timeout from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for today's game comes from SSM Health Medical Group and St. Francis Hospital in Maryville. SSM offers 10 locations and 46 primary care and specialty providers throughout the Bearcat Nation. More at SSMHealthSt.Francis.com.
Today's game is underwritten by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Bomley Auto Sales. Bearcat alumnus Joe Bomley has been providing late model program vehicles and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs to the area since 1983. More at BomleyAuto.com or on the lot at 5 Mile Corner south of Maryville.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Rapid Elite in downtown Maryville, providing printing, copying, and other services such as folding, stapling, binding, and laminating, as well as supplying ink and toner. Rapid Elite also provides UPS and FedEx shipping services. More information at 562-4657.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Younger Auction Company. Auctioneer Mark Younger and his team simulcast online live auctions in all states. Younger Auction Company specializes in real estate, farm equipment, collectibles, and antiques. More at YoungerAuction.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. Find more at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, we're broadcasting live from Carson's Sports Grill in downtown Maryville and continuing to talk track and field with a couple athletes off of the Northwest Track and Field Squadron, Zenova Harris, and also our Brandon Phipps. And, guys, thanks for being with us here on the program.
Thank you.
And first of all, let's talk to Zenova, and coming to the Northwest campus from St. Louis and Marquette High School. Just talk about what brought you to the Northwest campus to compete.
I heard about Northwest through my club coach, and I didn't really have a lot of scholarship offers and options for college, and I originally signed to Lindenwood Belleville University on a full ride, and that kind of fell through, so I really had no hope after that. And my coach had connection with Coach Oregon. He got connected with them, and I talked to Coach Emily for a little bit, and like I said, I had no choice, so I was like, okay, this sounds good. I think I'm going to do it. And I never came on a visit or anything. I showed up for the first day of move-in day for freshmen, and I am so happy and so glad that I ended up coming here, because now I just love this place, and don't ever want to leave, really.
Well, it seems like it's worked out well for you. I know talking to Coach just a little bit ago, he really appreciates what you bring to the team, not only athletically, but just from a leadership role.
Yeah. I like this program, and I just work really hard to leave a mark here on the team, not only, like he said, not only on the track, but outside the track. So it's been good.
And being a sprinter, coming off the indoor season, just talk a little bit about the way the indoor season went for you.
Indoor went really well for me, I'd say. I haven't had much success like in the conference meet prior to this year. And this summer I just worked really hard and really had more drive to want to do better and be better, not only for our program but in the conference as well. And I really feel that our program is growing, so I wanted to be a part of that, and I wanted to try to score more for the team. And coming off the conference meet, I did that, so I was really proud of myself and just couldn't be more blessed to have made it to finals in two events and scoring top three in the 4x4. So I just really enjoyed indoor, and it was my last one, so I ended off good.
Now, if I understand right, you've got about a couple more years on the outdoor side, is that right?
Yes, I have this outdoor, and I have outdoor of 2018, so I'll be here for another year after this year. So just training real hard for indoor and going out to outdoor and trying to get to nationals.
All right, well, sounds good. And Brandon Phipps again with us as well out of Creston, Iowa. And, Brandon, how did you get involved with the distance events?
Really, I just ran distance in high school on the track. Audrey Bollinger was a athlete here on the track side, and I just reached out to Coach Lorick through her, and Coach has brought me up and had a visit with him, and we just started talking, and I didn't have too many options for distance side of things. I hadn't run cross in high school, so he just gave me an opportunity that I just took, and I've just ran with it since, and it's gone great. So
yeah, what are some things about cross country that you enjoy?
Really, it's just the guys on the team. Like, I didn't run cross in high school, so I was really new to the sport, and the guys just kind of showed me, you know, how it all went. You know, at the first 2 years, it's kind of an adjustment, but this year it was just really good just to compete hard and just follow the role of the guys on the team. So.
And as far as other distance events that you compete in, I guess I had a little bit of experience with that going through high school, but how would you assess where your career's gone so far?
It's just been a process. I mean, freshman year I scored a conference, which was a pretty good accomplishment there, but to get all conference this year in the 5K and then to score fourth in the 3K, that was just a really big goal of mine coming in. I just wanted to score as many points as I possibly could, so to put up 10 for us was pretty sweet. So,
when you are involved with the cross country, the indoor, now the outdoor season coming up with the distance events, do you train any differently for the seasons and some of the type of events that you're in?
Oh, yeah. I mean, for cross, you know, the duration of the race is obviously longer. It's 8K, 10K, so the workouts are going to be a little bit longer, while on the track side, it's a lot more speed stuff, just sharp work with just repeat Ks and stuff like that, instead of, like, long duration 40-minute tempos and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's kind of all the same, but coach has always got us set up nice to just run quick when we need to.
Sounds like for both of you here that you got some work coming up in the next few weeks, getting ready for outdoor. From what the coach was just telling me a while ago, he's planning to work you guys pretty hard during the next few weeks.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Looking forward to that at all?
I actually am. I don't like taking time off, and I know it's going to be hard, and we're going to have to really put in work, but I think it's going to set us up great for outdoor, and coming off indoor, we got a lot of work to do. So,
what are some of the goals you have for the outdoor season?
I want our team to score higher outdoor than we did indoor. I really thought we would score higher indoor, but we didn't, so all we can do is learn from it, and I just pray that we can, and I think we can. I think outdoor will be a little easier for our track team as a whole, because we're pretty young, so they're not used to indoor. So I think outdoor will be great. Besides placing, I really want us to place top three on the girls or boys side or both if we can. But besides that, I want to go to nationals. I just want to get there.
Well, it sounds like a great goal there. Brandon, as far as you're concerned, what are the goals you have for this outdoor season?
Yeah, I just want to build off what we did indoor early. I mean, coach just kind of sets us up to peak during the outdoor season, so indoor is just kind of a start, and we're just going to keep things rolling. On the men's side, we should just continue to compete hard. And, you know, for me personally, I'll just get into the 10K, the 5K, and just hopefully take a shot at Natty's also and just continue to compete hard at the conference meet. So
I know that competing in track and field takes up an awful lot of time as far as actual work involved with that, but there are also a lot of other aspects academically as well as socially. And what are some of the things academically? Just talk a little bit about your academics, some things you want to, you're doing right now, and maybe your future career goals.
I'm a psychology major with a minor in child and family studies, and I've kind of like learned how to do time management, so it's been good so far, but I missed a lot of class this semester with indoor, so really working to get on top of those in this month that I have off, quote unquote. So other than that, when I'm applying for grad school soon, and I want to go to grad school for social work, not sure where yet, whoever's going to take me in, I think I have a pretty good chance of getting in, so.
All right, well, good deal. And Brandon, what about your academics?
I'm a physical education major right now. I plan to get my master's in administration. I'd like to be like a athletic director. Thing is, we miss a lot of class with meets and stuff like that. But just keeping on top of it, just time management, working ahead. And also, you're just tired a lot. So just the commitment of this like training with school is really tough. But you just got to understand in the big scheme, you know, like you just got to go to class. I kind of have this quote, if you go to class, you pass. If you don't, you won't. So that's kind of my thing. So I always tell myself, you know, when I'm tired from just a late night of homework and a tough training week, just, you know, school comes first always. So it's very important just to stay strong with that and just train hard also. So.
Well, it's been a pleasure having both of you with us on the program tonight, and good luck to both of you for the outdoor season.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, again, it's Noah Harris with us from the women's cross country, we're actually track and field teams, and Brandon Phipps from the men's track and field teams as well with us on the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show this evening. Again, we are broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Back and have more for you right after this on the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for today's game comes from Tri-State Ford Lincoln on South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the region a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles as well as pre-owned vehicles. More at gotristate.com or at 660-582-3677.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Pizza Ranch at U.S. 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in-store or at pizzaranch.com.
Support for today's game comes from Compass Dental Group in Maryville. Doctors Bruce and Teal Twaddle and Dr. Brian Viertaler provide braces, implants, same-day crowns, and general dentistry. More at 660-582-2273 or at compassdentalgroup.com.
Bearcat radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville across from Walmart. Championship offers late model pre-owned autos and conducts vehicle searches upon request. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or 582-8800.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank with online banking, including remote deposit using your mobile device. Right Bank is right at your fingertips or at nvb.com or at any of their 8 locations.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. Find more at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show as we're wrapping things up for another edition of the program. Also today, the Northwest men's tennis team got their season underway. Kind of a blustery day for that here on the Northwest campus, but Northwest knocking off the Division I team and UMKC winning 6-1 on the Frank Gerby courts.
You know, you hear Coach Rosie always talk about, hey, we'll take on anybody and everybody, and that's why right there, knocking off a Division I school early on in the season.
Problem he has is finding teams that want to play.
That's exactly right, and that's why.
So this team off to a great start there, and for the tennis team, they'll be back in action. They're traveling south on Friday down to Bolivar. They'll face Midwestern State on Friday, and then they'll face University of Indianapolis in St. Charles on Saturday. So they've got a little travel ahead as well, but they're getting things off to a great start, and it should be another successful season for both those men's and women's teams.
Hey, it's always easier to travel when you're winning,
no doubt about it. And we'll be traveling tomorrow, a short trip down to Kansas City, as we have men's basketball on the schedule. The Northwest men, the number one seed in the MIAA postseason tournament. Again, they face Lincoln. 6 o'clock is tip-off time. We'll have the broadcast beginning at 5:40 with our pregame, and that ought to be a fun time, as always, down in Kansas City. Kansas City.
Yeah, it's cool that they moved the one seed to that late session. You know, it had been in the afternoon, and it was like, well, that's just kind of not fair, because I know there's a lot of Bearcat fans that want to go to that game, and now hopefully more of them will be able to get to it in that Thursday session, because it's always a fun time when there's a lot of green at Municipal.
Oh, not only from the Maryville area, but a lot of alums in Kansas City get a great chance to watch that team this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be fun, and like we said, you can just make Lincoln a little bit more uncomfortable with the more green that's there, and the louder that green is.
All right, sounds good. That'll do it for our show tonight. Thanks to everyone involved with the program here at Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Ryan Elliott helping out behind the scenes. And Matt Gorder, I'm John Coffey, and so long from Carson's.
Chuck Schumer, the Senate Democratic leader, says there are two sides to President Trump.
Donald Trump, when he gives his speeches, talks like a populist. And he talks to middle class and working America and poor people. But when he governs, at least in his first 40 days, he governs like a hard right guy.
But he is the man in the White House. I'm Steve Inskeep. How Democrats hope to work their way back toward power. Tomorrow on Morning Edition.
Join us from 4 until 9 on 90.5 and 88.9.
Broadcasting from the campus of Northwest Missouri State University, we are KXCV Maryville and KRNW Chillicothe, your source for great music and entertainment. Your time is 6:59. Just a quick temperature update. We're looking at 40 degrees in Maryville, 45 degrees in Chillicothe, 46 degrees in St. Joseph, and 42 degrees in Nebraska City. Feel free to check us online at www.kxcv.org or follow us on Twitter at KXCVKRNW.
The most interesting, compelling, and controversial health and medical issues are examined each week on The People's Pharmacy. Hosts Joe and Terry Graydon discuss these issues with nationally recognized authorities on medicine, mental health, nutrition, fitness, and related issues. Each week, guests discuss current issues and answer call-in questions from listeners. Join us for The People's Pharmacy, Saturday mornings at 6 and again Thursdays at noon on 90.5 and 88.9.
Or maybe happy birthday in the style of Handel. You get the idea. From APM, American Public Media, this is Performance Today. I'm Fred Child. Coming up, highlights from recent concerts around the country and this week's Piano Puzzler with Bruce Adolph. We'll have a caller on the line from New York City. Play along. See if you can guess Bruce's hidden tune and the composer whose style he's mimicking. Bruce Adolph is a good friend of the founder of the Orpheus Chamber Orchestra in New York City. Let's hear Orpheus right now playing Mozart's March No. 1. You might have heard about some hubbub in Philadelphia in July of 1776. A group of rebellious Americans issued the Declaration of Independence. Well, that very same month, Mozart wrote the music we just heard, his March No. 1. We heard it played by the Orpheus Chamber Orchestra. More music by Mozart is on the way in just a moment. One of his final opera overtures from a concert at the University of Illinois. From APM, American Public Media, this is Performance Today. I'm Fred Child. Bruce Adolph will join me to play this week's Piano Puzzler. Bruce will be here in about 10 minutes. And right now, let's hear something Mozart wrote near the end of his life. Mozart was juggling three big projects in 1791. He was writing his opera, The Marriage of Figaro. He was working on his Requiem, which he never got around to finishing. And he was also working on an opera called La Clemenza di Tito, The Clemency of Titus. La Clemenza premiered that same year and didn't go over so well. The Queen of Bohemia saw the premiere. Well, she saw part of it, anyway. Later, she said, the opera was nothing special and the music was very bad, so nearly all of us slept through it. More recently, the great music writer Charles Rosen said that La Clemenza fails as storytelling, but the music is never less than beautiful, which might be why the overture is often played on its own in concert. Let's hear exactly that from a concert at the Krannert Center in Urbana, Illinois. Ian Hobson conducting the ensemble Sinfonia de Camera. They're playing the overture to La Clemenza di Tito by Mozart.